In the book of Acts, in chapter 27, we begin and we see a very real topic that many Christians deal with. And again, it was something that we all classify storms in life in different ways. For one storm in your life, it may be more prevalent than something in my life. Something that you are dealing with and going through, I may see as a mist instead of a thunderstorm or a tornado. But as you go through these things and as you endure and as you are faced with these true challenges, you begin to explore your faith. And I spend much of my time as a minister ministering to those in their time of storms. I know what to say. I know what to do. But you turn those tables and, you know, as a minister, what do? You know, your faith is really tested. And that's where we're going to look at tonight, remaining faithful as God's people as we continue to weather the storms of life. I think it is important to understand, and I think would be naive and even foolish, if we thought as God's people that we would never enter the storms that life seems to present. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter where it's going to be, doesn't matter how it comes up. We often think of the storms of life as being something traumatic, something detrimental, a loss of a loved one, and that's not always the case. Storms in life could be a numerous amount of things. It could be anything from financial hardships. It could be anything to loss of a loved one, a child or even a spouse, an adult, becoming ill and having something that they are going to have to deal with continuously. It could be relationship problems. It could be marital problems. The list can really and truly go on as to what the storms in life could really be. And so I think we need to broaden our view and our horizon as far as what these storms are and how we classify them. Not only that, I think it's important that as we go through these storms in life, it's not so much how we act or react during the storm, but the way that we do so is going to affect the aftermath. We can prepare for hurricanes all that we want to. We can say, you know what, in the middle of that storm, it's too late. You're not going to put, well, we will be putting plywood on our windows if we hadn't prior to. We're going to do that during the storm, okay? But it may be after one or two windows have blown out. Because the proper preparation wasn't made beforehand, we are now finding ourselves in a situation of what to do. How are we going to react? What is the aftermath? What is going to be left behind? And as any good Southerner knows, a lot of limbs and a lot of leaves, a lot of torn up shingles, and the list goes on. But how can I take and how can I remain faithful when our world is turned upside down? How can I still be obedient to God's word and do what He has? And as an individual, and we'll take ministry out of it completely. That's where I've had to put myself. I'm no longer in the minister position, ministering to that family in need. My family is the one that is needing prayers. And many of you may have found yourself in that very situation. Maybe you've always been the one that has been and offered that word of encouragement. Maybe you have been the one that has always been there and always lend that shoulder to cry on or that ear to listen. But all of a sudden, your world is turned upside down and you're the one needing the shoulder to cry on, the ear to listen to. Paul is an incredible man of God. We understand Paul didn't start out that way. He had quite a rocky start. And for an individual and for a man of God to become who he is and to have accomplished the things for the kingdom of God, how easy would it have been if his faith was not founded and secured in who God was and his belief in who God was and is, how easy it would have been for him to revert to his prior way of life. I think it is unfortunate that many times we sit here and we say, why is Christianity in a stall? Why are we not moving? Why are we not going forward? Why is the Lord's church and His kingdom not just growing exponentially? And I think the answer to that question is simply this. We as God's people, although we think our faith is strong, when we come through these storms, we stall out. Essentially, our faith stalls out. We don't know where to go. All of a sudden, this God in whom we believed and this faith in which our foundation was firm and it was secure. And all of a sudden, our world has, for lack of better terms, has been rocked, has been turned upside down. What do? Man, how easy it is to revert to the former way of life. When Paul finds himself being taken to Rome, where we know that he will later die, we see that this is a journey, or as we go through this, I hope that we can view this as a journey or instructions to go through the journey of life to get us to the other shore. In chapter 27, beginning in verse 13, we really see this storm that is coming about. And if you will, we will look at some of this, and then we'll come back and we will hit some of these verses, and we will highlight some things and point out 4 points to you tonight. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called Northeastern swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Caudum, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. There are things that we are seeing even very early on that just ring out so loudly. How do we prepare for the storms? It seems like sometimes we know that the hurricane is coming, and because we are experienced in hurricanes and the things that are coming, our preparation may not always be what it should. Now, there are others that if there is a tropical storm coming into the Gulf, everything is boarded up immediately. Okay? They know what they're doing, they know what they expect, and they're going to weather the storm quite well. But oftentimes we wait too late. And here we see something very big is about to take place, but it starts out as something small. We can't ignore the warning signs of the things that are about to take place in life. For 2 weeks we had no idea what was going on with Ansley, what was taking place. We knew that her stomach was hurting. We knew that we would give her some Pepto-Bismol and things like that, and it would subside and it would go away. And so we didn't really pay any attention. Although for 2 weeks we had the warning signs that something could potentially be wrong. And those warning signs kept getting stronger and stronger, and motherly instinct overtook, and Blair kept taking her back to the doctor, and they say it's one thing, said, no, you've keep going, there's something else there. And because of the warning signs that we had, there are warning signs already that Paul has already been persecuted, he's already been put in prison, he's already faced these things, and if, out of all things to happen, being captured, he is now going to face this being shipwrecked. Let's skip down to verse 24. And do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Beginning in verse 27 and going through verse 44, it tells the account of the shipwrecked, being prepared, making preparation, eating, and all these different things. But we are where we want to stop it and focus on this portion of Scripture here, these last couple of verses. Here are some anchors that I think we need to have as God's people if we're going to weather the storms in life and in the end allow God to be victorious for us. And in turn, we ourselves will be victorious as well. The first anchor that we've got to have is, without a doubt, God. Without God, the storms in life are impossible to weather. It cannot happen. You say, oh, well, I know friends and I've got people that have been through all sorts of things and everything has turned out well. And that's great. But how did they weather the storm? They might have come out okay. They might have come out a little beaten, a little battered, if you will. They might have had a few shingles missing, a few busted windows. But you see the turmoil within their life during that storm. Now, that's not to say that we as God's people won't have turmoil. That's not to say that during the storms that we as God's people won't experience the pain and the heartache. I'm not saying that. I don't want to give you false hope. But it's because we endure those things, we have God with us in and through those storms. And you say, you know what? As a child of God, I don't understand. I've been through this. I've struggled with this. And I just don't understand God's purpose. And I don't understand His plan. How many times have we sat back and said, what? God, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why me? Why now? We have got to have a foundation in Christ. You go to the book of Matthew when we see the story of the wise and the foolish builder. The instructions were the same, but the foundations were different. If we want to live the way that God instructed us to live, everybody has the same instructions. It's no different for me to live one way and for someone else to have another set of directions in order to be obedient. They're all the same. But it's how I choose to know and to understand and to study God's Word and make application. I can pour a foundation of any size that I want to. I can pour it on anything that I want to. I can pour it on loose dirt. I can pour it on packed dirt. I can get the foundation just right. But when does the foundation generally show signs of not being correct? If you've ever been in an older home, you see a slab that is cracked. You see things that are going awry and things that are different. When we encounter the storms of life as God's children, if our foundation is not firm, it will crack. If a foundation of a house is not poured to just the right specifications, it's going to crack. It's not going to work. It may work for a while. That builder may be able to build that home successfully, put it on the market and sell it to a new homeowner, but over time it's going to break. We have got to have an anchor in God. So many times we have seen through God's Word these sayings or words along this line, fear not, do not fear, do not worry. God, are you kidding me? Do you know what I am about to go through? Do you know what I'm dealing with? My son is dead, I'm a widow, I don't have a husband, and he's being carried out of the gates of Nain. Widow, don't be sad. Don't worry. Your son's not dead. Oh, what do you mean? I'm carrying him out to where he's going to be laid. Master, where are you going? Don't worry about it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. For where I am, there you will also be. And the list, it could just go on. And it seems at the most inopportune times, we hear these words, do not worry. Do not be afraid. Paul has already been through so much. He's already been in prison. He's already been beaten. He's already endured so much. And now I know that I'm about to be shipwrecked with these other prisoners, with these other men. And you're telling me not to worry. I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't know how many times I've said God is in control to other families. But when you weather the storm or have a in the midst of a storm, realizing and understanding God's in control brings on a whole new meaning. Knowing that God is who He says He is, knowing that He is all-powerful, understanding that His will and His plan for an individual's life is oftentimes different than what it is for your own. Understanding or trying to grasp what God's plan is in the storm, well, if we're honest, doesn't always make sense. The person of God, who are we anchoring in? We're anchoring in a man that is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is everywhere. He is the God of the universe. He is the Savior. Where is our position in God? It's one thing to say that we know who God is. It's one thing to even say that we believe who God is. But are we allowing ourselves to be the servant who God has called us to be? Hey, you see, we have to come to a point in our life, if we are truly going to be who God has called us to be, we have to allow ourselves to be owned by Him. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Do you understand what that means? Do you know what that's talking about? We sing the song, but what is the premise behind it? Back during those times, it meant that when a slave, after his time was up, if he so chose to remain faithful to his master, and all was taken, his ear was put against a door frame, and his ear was pierced. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Am I allowing myself to be identified forever as His child? No matter what may come, no matter the trials that I face, no matter the things that I will come against, God, I am Yours. Do we make the declaration in our life every day as Joshua did in Joshua 24 and 15? Look, as for me and my house, you serve whoever you want to. But as far as I'm concerned, for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. If we are going to weather the storms in life, if we are going to remain faithful, we have to have that mindset every day. Lord, no matter what comes my way, whatever challenges I may face today, God, help me be victorious over those things. Not that I alone can be, but because of who I am in You. Because I know that You are a God that is above and greater than all things. May come out bruised. May come out battered. But I come out victorious. I have got to determine that not only is He who I serve, but I am His. One of the greatest things about being a Christian is, I don't know what my inheritance will be on this side of eternity. My parents spend it every day. But you know what? I've got an inheritance that is far greater, worth far more than I could ever think or ever imagine having. Why? Because I am His child. I am His son and He is my father. And He has riches beyond what we could ever imagine and things that cannot be destroyed by moth and rust and whatever else this world seems to do. I don't care how indestructible things that you may have. I don't care how permanent they may be. I don't mean to bust your bubble, but they're not going to last. They'll disappear. They'll varnish. They'll rust. But because I am a son of God, I have an inheritance waiting on me. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, But as many as received Him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In being a son, we also have to be a servant. being a servant means allowing ourselves to humbly be instructed and guided by someone else. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you like to be told what to do by someone else? Not very many of us. We are our own people. I am going to do what I want to do when I get good and ready to do it. This is the male attitude before marriage. After we're married, it's just yes, ma'am. When it comes to Christianity, when it comes to weathering the storm, it means being a servant as well. Paul is in the same position as these men on this boat. They're all headed to Rome. They're all headed to face Caesar. All of these things are about to take to each one of them. But who does God give these men to? In the midst of the storm, God is asking Paul to protect these men. He's asking them to make sure that they get to shore safely. How many times have we said, God, I've got my own problems. Please don't put anybody else's on mine. I've got too much going on. Well, all the while, God is calling us to serve. God is calling us in the middle of the storms to still be obedient. God is calling us to do the things that He has asked us to do. He's not looking for excuses. And oftentimes we say, you know what, God, I've got too much to do. I've got too much on my mind. I'm in the middle of my own storm. Everything's brewing. My world is upside down. It's spinning out of control. I don't know what's going to happen next. And all these questions begin coming to mind. And it's like, what are we going to do next? By the way, I know your plate's full, but I need you to go help this family in need. Paul, I need you to go to these men and I need you to help them. I need you to instruct them. I need you to make sure that they get to shore on time. So many times, and it's so easy, as we face the storm, as we face the troubles in life, as we face the things that we deem unfair, that the attention goes to me. Me first. My needs. And I would say rightfully so, because that's who we are as humans. That's our mindset. That's our struggle. We've got to make sure that we are still willing and ready to serve. God is assuring Paul not only of safety, but He's also encouraging him and assuring him of security and supply. All of these things God is trying to get across to Paul. I am going to give you safety. I am going to give you security. I am going to supply and meet your every need. But not just him, but everyone that was with him on that boat. How many times have we said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think God understands that we're going to worry. It's not so much the worrying that is wrong, but it's making sure that we don't do so in a way that is going to lead and be detrimental to our faith. Someone gets sick. Why is my daughter, who is healthy, now fixing to have surgery? Is it wrong to ask God why? I don't think so. But it's doing so in a way that is not condemning. When we want to know something, we ask questions. Go to any little 2, 3, 4 year old. If they want to know something, they're going to ask why. And if they don't like the answer that you give them, what are they going to say? Why? And guess what? If they're not satisfied with that answer, what are they going to do? Why? How do we come to know and understand God's Word the way that we do so that we can weather the storms? It's by asking why. God, why is this way? And we begin studying. We begin searching for answers. Why has a loved one passed away? God, why are we going through these hardships in our relationships? Why are we struggling with our why are we struggling with anything? And we so easily say, "Don't worry." And God simply says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." It's mind-blowing. Why say do not fear during these things? I don't get it. Don't worry, child. Come to me. I'll give you rest. God has an incredible plan for your life. It's a matter of adhering to that plan and following it out the best way that we possibly know how. We cannot have an anchor in God unless, secondly tonight, we have faith. We have got to have faith. I believe in God. I can have all the knowledge in the world about who God is, about the Bible. I can be outquoted in Scripture and have all the belief in the world, but until I take the knowledge in my mind and make application in my heart, knowledge will do me no good. Read it as many times, front, back. I don't care. I can know what God's Word says, but it's until I take what God's Word says, what I know it is, and I put it into practice, I make application, it does me no good. Paul could have had all the faith in God that he wanted to, but God, this is the last straw. I can't take it anymore. I can't take the punishment. I can't take the persecution. I can't go before Caesar. I don't want to die in Rome. I'll just go back to persecuting the church. Go back to scattering individuals. Paul's transformation in his life, he made not only a firm foundation in God, but he developed a faith that was unwavering. Let me encourage you tonight, we have got to establish in our life a faith that is unwavering. That as I endure these things and I ask the question why, no matter the answer, I know that He is in control. Without a doubt. May not like the answer. May not want to hear it. We may say, well, oh, God hasn't answered our prayers because we hadn't liked the answer that He gave to our prayers. And so we say, oh, that's God just never answered. That answer may be a hard pill to swallow. Granted, we may not even understand the answer that He gave. But if we're going to weather the storm faithfully as God's people, we must trust in Him. We've got to understand that we are talking about a faith in a man that set the world in motion. We're talking about having a faith in a man that created all things. And from the very beginning of time, He had already made preparation to send His one and only Son to die on the cross. Before man ever stepped foot on the earth, before life was even breathed into him, God knew that sin was going to run rampant in mankind. So from before the foundation of the world, God, that is a God that sees and knows and created and developed the bigger picture. We think we know what the bigger picture is. We think we know what is coming next. We think we know what is about to take place. But all the planning in the world, oftentimes, fall short? Where am I going to be in 5 years? I don't know. I would like to know. Where am I going to be in 10, 15, 20? Brother, do preachers ever get to retire? I'm not sure, but I didn't think so. I was hoping maybe he would tell me yes and I would get to retirement someday. We don't know. Will I be financially secure? I don't know. Where will my family be? I don't know. Life is full of unanswered questions and certainly leaves so much uncertainty and certainly can produce so much doubt and fear in our life. But when we see a God who knows all things, who knows that bigger picture, if we will simply believe and have faith in Him and have a faith that is unwavering, when we go through that storm, man, I feel like I'm on the bayway going through the tunnel. You ever go through the tunnel? I don't care what time of year it is, but as the afternoon draws on, you try to go through the tunnel, what happens? It backs up and it backs up and it backs up. I've lived here long enough. According to most of the license plates, they have as well. Guess what? You sit there and you think, man, what a terrible wreck. And we're going to be here for hours. What happens as you get to the other side of the tunnel? It turns into NASCAR. There's nothing there. People are going all... If I'm going into the tunnel, you've got to know that I'm coming out. How many times have you traveled this very exact road? Sometimes we hit the brakes and we say, well, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. One thing after another, what's going to happen next? We don't know. Starting back in December, Blair was experiencing some health issues and some things that she was dealing with. By the time she got over that, we discovered that my father-in-law had stage 3 lung cancer. He begins his treatments on Tuesday, and here we are. When is it going to end? Approximately 6 months, our family, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, has been in some sort of storm. When does it end? There is no end. Where do we go from here? If we remain faithful, if we keep pushing on, and if we never give up, we will see the light at the end of the tunnel. 6 months? A year? A week? I don't know, I can't tell you that. But here's the promise that we do have in God's Word is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you say, that's impossible because you don't know how I feel right now. You don't know the things that I'm dealing with. You've never been in my shoes. You've never walked. So how can you tell me that? Because of the faith that I have. Because I have an anchor in God. Because I know who He is. If I am in it, He is going to see me through. We have got to have the faith to be seen through. There's a ship. The ship was tied together in order, we're talking about a small ship. It was tied together so that it may weather the storm, so it wouldn't break apart. Eventually, Paul said, look, we're going to have to go aground. We're going to have to become shipwrecked. Matter of fact, those of you that can swim, go ahead and swim and go to the shore. Because the rest of us are going to need the pieces of the ship to hang on to in order to get to that shore. Sometimes in our life we may be saying, hey, we're just grasping. Just anything. Look, we just need some positive news. We just need to know that things are going to get better and you begin grasping at those things. What is there? I just need something positive. When it comes to life and storms, it is important not only to rely on physical family, but to not jump ship. we cannot get out of God's kingdom. We cannot get out of the church. As hard as it may seem and as hard as it may be, we must find ourselves involved in the church. We've got to find ourselves involved in God's kingdom. That is what is going to hold us together. Why do you think the Bible speaks so much on topics such as love, unity, family, being together? Why? We're not running this race in a way to win. There's not one prize. There's not one mansion in heaven. I've gone to prepare a place for you. For where I am, there you can also be. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, look, there's many rooms. You can be there. But you cannot give up. You cannot abandon ship. I'm not saying that some of you have experienced things that at one point in time or another, you thought, hey, I'm just going to abandon ship. Too much to deal with. I can't handle it. And I'm not saying that there aren't scenarios and situations like that. But as God's people, we have got to get that out of our mind. We can't allow the seed of doubt to be planted to sit there and say, I can't. Because we can. I can't allow Satan to begin creeping in my life. Because it's then when he gets a foothold, when the door is just merely cracked, it's when our, and I'm not saying that our faith will never waver, and I'm not saying that it won't ever be weakened, but it's when we say, you know what, I'm done. Where we find ourselves reverting back to the old ways of life. That was never God's intention for man. It was to always look forward, look to the future, see what's coming. Our future may not look bright. It may even be bleak at times. The Bible tells us that God came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. Yeah, think about that. Not only did he come to give us abundant life, but he came to give us eternal life. That can only be found in him. Lastly tonight, if we're going to weather the storms in life, we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Everything hinges on His Word. Our faith, understanding what God's kingdom is all about, understanding what faithfulness is all about, and even who God Himself is, can all be found within His Word. All we have to do is look. I don't think I have any of my old high school math teachers in here, so I'm good. Math is not my strong suit. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. And man, I loved when my math teacher gave me odd numbers for homework. You know why? Because I've looked at my math book, and guess what's in the back of the book? Answers to the odd numbers. And even when I had to do, we'll just say numbers 1 through 24, guess which numbers I got right? The odd ones. I had searched my math book. Didn't study it, by no means. Didn't read it, by any means. But I had searched it out. If we want to know what weathering the storm of life is all about, and remaining faithful in doing so, then we must immerse ourselves in the meat of God's Word. The Bible tells us, look, there are some of you that ought to be teaching. There are some of you that ought to be evangelizing. There are some of you that ought to be doing incredible things in God's kingdom. But you're still on the spiritual milk. Get off the milk. Get in the meat. Understand what it is and know how to weather the storms when it comes your way. I may know that God's Word is here, but it's until I take it and I make application of it. And it's too late once I begin to say, oh, I'm in the middle of a storm, and we do it so often. Oh, God, if you'll just help me through this, I promise I'll do that, and I promise I'll be faithful, and I promise I'll never miss church again, and the list goes on. Folks, we're already in danger. When we hear that a storm is coming up the bay, when it enters the Gulf, we begin checking, is our generator's ready? Is our plywood available? We make preparation then. We must make preparation now to remain faithful in weathering storms of life. What are you going to do? The time has come. The storm is here. It's not so much how we react in the storm determines the projected path afterwards. I hope tonight that as we understand, and again, we must realize, and we're naive and even foolish to think that as God's people we will never face storms, then we're already in trouble. But when we do, may we weather them in such a way that we'll reach the eternal shore.